What do you need to know about Jonah? Jonah is the subversive story of a reluctant prophet who hates God for loving his enemies. I'll say that again. Jonah is a subversive story of a reluctant prophet who hates God for loving his enemies. Now, the book of Jonah is unique amongst the prophetic writings. All of the other prophetic writings contain the words of the prophets, but Jonah is about what happens to the prophet. Now, we don't know a lot about Jonah himself. Apart from the book of Jonah, he's only referred to twice in 2 Kings chapter 14 and Amos chapter 6. And he doesn't come away looking all that crash hot, because he lived and worked during the reign of a guy called Jeroboam II, who was one of Israel's worst kings. And he appeared to have told Jeroboam exactly what he wanted to hear. He promised that Jeroboam would win lots of battles and gain lots of territory. Now, the prophet Amos came along and he confronted Jeroboam and told him that God would actually reverse Jonah's prophecy, that he would lose all of his territories that he had gained because he was so evil. And so before we even open up the book of Jonah, we are suspicious of his character. And that's what makes the story of Jonah so subversive. It's the characters. Now, there's a few characters, and all of those characters defy our expectations. So sailors, you ordinarily expect to be pretty rough and ready, but they are humble and receptive to God. The Ninevites, some of the most murderous people on the planet and their king, humble themselves before God. The cows, even the cows repent. And so what we have in the book of Jonah is what we call, it's a satire. It's an imitation of something we know well, but instead of things happening as we expect, there is irony. And the irony is there to critique Jonah, to critique his stupidity and his character flaws. That's what the story's about. Now, the story has a really lovely and neat structure. Chapters 1 and 2 are set in the Mediterranean Sea, what they used to know as the Great Sea. And chapters 3 and 4 are set in the great city, the city of Nineveh. And if you break down the structure even further, in chapters 1 and 3, we see Jonah's encounter with non-Israelites, the sailors and the people of Nineveh. And there is a clear contrast there between Jonah's selfishness and the pagans' humility and repentance. Whereas in chapters 2 and 4, we see a couple of prayers. Chapter 2 has a prayer of humility, and in chapter 4, Jonah basically chews God out for doing exactly what he expected God to do. So there's lovely balance here. And one of the big things that I want you to take away is that the story of Jonah is about so much more than a fish. I don't know if you noticed, but in our title graphic, there's no fish. We've deliberately left the fish out because it's about so much more than a fish. Let me run you through some highlights of what happens in the story. So in chapter 1, as most of us, if not all of us, know, God calls Jonah to preach to the Ninevites about their impending doom. Jonah starts off somewhere around here. He's supposed to go up there to the east. And what does he do? He goes in the other direction. He heads west as far as he can go. Jonah flees, even though he knows that God is the God not only of the land, but of the sea, and that there is no escaping the Lord's presence. And in a final attempt to evade his responsibility, he asks the sailors to throw him into the sea so he can die. That's how much he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. That's how much he hates them. But of course, God isn't done with Jonah. God has a giant fish swallow him, and normally that would be a death sentence. But instead of eating Jonah, the fish preserves his life. And after 3 days, Jonah prays a prayer. Mind you, no explicit mention of repentance. But anyway, he prays a prayer asking God for mercy, and the fish vomits Jonah onto dry land. And so in chapter 3, God speaks to Jonah a second time and says, get up, go to the city of Nineveh, and preach the message that I tell you. And this time, Jonah does what he's told. He goes to Nineveh, and he preaches a very brief message. It's 8 words in the English. It's 5 words in the Hebrew. And the NIV captures the message quite nicely. In the NIV, it says 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And Jonah's words come true, but not in the way that you would expect. Even though Jonah's message had no explicit call to repentance, that is exactly what the people did. Everyone from the greatest to the least, from the king down to the cows, begged God not to bring destruction on them. And God hears their cry for mercy, and he doesn't destroy the city. And so instead of overthrowing the city physically, God overthrows the city spiritually by making them repent. So Jonah's prophecy, after all, does come true, but not in the way that you or I might expect. Jonah did expect it, though, because as we see in chapter 4, Jonah remembers that God is compassionate and merciful, and then he throws it in God's face. Jonah, in chapter 4, goes out to the city to see if the people's repentance will last and to see if God will really relent. And that's exactly what happens. And Jonah becomes angry for the very reason that he knew that God might not destroy his enemies. And so outside the city, God enacts a parable to teach Jonah a thing or two. God sends Jonah a plant to provide him with shade while he waits for the city to renege. And the next day, he sends a worm to eat the plant which was providing Jonah with shade. And Jonah's terribly disappointed. He gets angry, not about the people in the city, but about the plant. And God explains the parable, rebuking Jonah for caring so much about this plant, which he hadn't made. If Jonah cares so much about that, why shouldn't God care about the people he has made, and not a handful of people, 120,000 people, and more than a few cows, it says at the end of the book. And so, in the story of Jonah, what we have is a challenge, well, really a rebuke. Because what Jonah is all about, it's about holding up a mirror to our own faces. The story of Jonah is intended to remind us that inside each one of us is a little Jonah. A little Jonah who doesn't want to see God's grace and mercy extended to our enemies. And what God wants is for us to read Jonah and to take a much bigger picture of the height and the depth and the breadth of God's mercy and love. Now, we've called this series The Pursuit of God because you could read that title a couple of ways. A lot of people these days talk about pursuing God as if they're going after God. But the reality is that left to themselves, people don't pursue God. God has to pursue them. And the book of Jonah shows us that God can use anyone, even stubborn people like Jonah, to bring people into a relationship with him. And so for us, if God can use Jonah, as stubborn and reluctant, as rebellious as he was, then God can use us too. Now, as is our custom, we prepare study booklets every term, and if you want a hard copy of that booklet, just ask your leader, but soft copies are available online. And as Mike has already said, we've only got 4 weeks for this series, and then we're going to move into our vision series for 3 weeks, and then we're going to be looking at a 3-week series at Hebrews, in which we explore the work and person of Christ, Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. And the materials for that are going to be available shortly. Now, my hope, as we look at this short 4-part series in the book of Jonah, is that we marvel at God's sovereignty, at his might and power, how he uses that to save people, sometimes in spite of us, in spite of who we are. God's love is so big, and his love encompasses the whole world, and God wants us to share that heart, to love others, and to see his mercy extended to the ends of the earth.